Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. Welcome to our deep dive, where we really get into some influential texts and try to distill their most potent ideas for you. Today, we're diving into something truly foundational, the Analects of Confucius.
Yeah, this is a big one, a text that's shaped ethical thinking for, what, over 2,000 years. And what's really gripping, I think, is how it speaks so directly to something we still grapple with. You know, how do we find harmony, order, morality in a world that often feels, well, pretty chaotic?
Exactly. And you might think the answer involves, I don't know, complicated laws or military solutions or something.
Right. Something external.
Yeah. But Confucius offers this surprisingly personal, practical insight that real societal order starts with the individual, with our own, like, relentless moral self-improvement.
It's this idea of building from the ground up, isn't it? Starting with you, with me, with each person. It's profound because it suggests we're not just helpless victims of chaos. Mm-hmm. Instead of just waiting around for some big fix. Mm-hmm. Confucius says, no, the path to a just, stable society, it lies in our own commitment to getting better. That's quite a call to action.
It really is. So who was this incredibly influential figure, Confucius?
Well, he was born Kong Fuzi, or Master Kong, around 151 BCE. Give or take. And here's a really key point for listeners. He didn't actually sit down and write the Analects himself.
Right. That's important. It's more like a collection, isn't it?
Exactly. It's a compilation of his teachings, sayings, little dialogues, all remembered and recorded by his students and maybe even their students later on.
Which is why it has that very distinct conversational feel, almost like you're eavesdropping on his class.
Yeah, you really get that sense. And he lived during China's spring and autumn period. Profound political turmoil, constant warfare, just a general breakdown of traditional values. He saw it all firsthand.
Must have been a really tough time to live through.
Absolutely. And what makes his approach so interesting is that he didn't claim to be some kind of radical innovator with brand new ideas. He actually saw himself as a transmitter, someone passing on ancient wisdom, but, you know, reinterpreting it for his own troubled times.
So his authority came more from observing human nature, respecting tradition.
Yes, exactly. And making it relevant. His focus was intensely practical, very human-centered, all about the here and now. How should we live? How should we govern? How do we relate to each other? Really basic but crucial questions.
And he didn't just talk the talk. He set up one of the first schools that took students based on merit, not just, you know, who their family was. That was pretty revolutionary back then.
Definitely. So getting into the book itself, the Analects. Mm-hmm. It's not some dry, dense philosophical treatise. Think of it more like a handbook, a guide to living a virtuous life, and through that, creating a good society.
Right. It's like a mosaic of short passages, little moments, often very specific to a situation, like snapshots of his wisdom in action.
You get to see Confucius in all these different roles, teacher, philosopher, advisor, sometimes just a guide trying to live with integrity day to day. And the core purpose, really, is to show you the path to becoming a Junzi.
The Junzi, that's the exemplary person, the person of noble character.
That's the one. And what I find really inspiring about this ideal is that it's not about your birthright or how much money you have or your social rank. It's purely about moral cultivation.
So it's about learning, ethical conduct, the effort you put in.
Precisely. It makes virtue accessible, almost democratic. Anyone can strive for it if they're willing to make the effort.
So the book takes you on a journey, but maybe not a linear story, more thematic.
Yeah, exactly. You listen in on these conversations, the master, talking with his students, and you see how he applies these core principles to different people, different situations. It's like watching ethical problem solving unfold.
What are some of those main themes then?
Oh, they're big and interconnected. You've got virtues like Ren, that's humaneness, benevolence, then Yi, which is righteousness or justice. And Li, ritual propriety, the right way to act.
Right.
Plus, there's huge emphasis on Xiao, filial piety, respecting your parents and elders. And lifelong learning, that's crucial.
And also a pretty unique idea about politics, right? That good governance comes from the ruler's own moral example, not just laws.
That's a cornerstone.
Oh.
Okay, so let's maybe pick out a few threads from the book itself to give people a real flavor.
Good idea. Where should we start? Maybe book one.
Yeah, book one on learning definitely sets the tone. It kicks off with that really famous line, to learn and then have occasion to practice what you have learned, is this not a pleasure?
I love that. It immediately makes learning sound joyful, active, not just like homework.
Exactly. And right away, it introduces the Junzi ideal, the importance of filial piety, being trustworthy. It connects learning directly to how you live.
And from that foundation of personal growth, he pretty quickly moves into leadership, doesn't he? Book 2 on governance connects the dots.
It really does. He argues that a ruler should lead by virtue, not primarily by laws and punishments. He uses that amazing analogy of the North Star.
Ah, yeah, the North Star just stays in its place and all the other stars orient themselves around it.
Precisely. If the leader is morally upright, Confucius believed, the people will naturally follow suit. They'll align themselves. It's about inspiration, not coercion.
And that book also really digs into Shao filial piety. It's not just about feeding your parents.
No, not at all. It's about doing so with genuine reverence, with deep respect. That emotional component is key. He saw the family as the first training ground for morality, if you learn respect and responsibility there.
It naturally extends outwards to the community, to the state. That link between personal and public life is so strong.
Definitely. And then you get to book 4 on humaneness, which focuses almost entirely on Ren. This is the big one, the supreme virtue.
Ren, humaneness, benevolence, goodness, it seems to cover a lot.
It does. The book says your whole character is basically defined by whether you can truly abide in Ren. It's about deep empathy, recognizing our shared humanity.
And acting on it, right, through conscientiousness and reciprocity.
Yes. That famous golden rule formulation appears here, though in the negative. What you do not wish for yourself, do not do to others. So practical. Always thinking about the impact on others.
It's incredibly practical. And what I find fascinating is how these big ideas are brought down to earth through his interactions with his students. They weren't all the same, were they?
Not at all. He had a really diverse group, and their personalities, their strengths, their weaknesses really bring the philosophy to life. They make it relatable.
Tell us about some of them. Yan Hui seems important.
Oh, absolutely. Yan Hui was his favorite. Confucius just constantly praises him for his incredible love of learning, his virtue, even though he lived in extreme poverty. For Confucius, Yan Hui was the ideal student, the one who just got it, who embodied that moral potential.
His early death must have been devastating for Confucius.
It was a profound blow, yeah. He really represented the ideal, what was possible.
And then you have someone like Zilu on the other end of the spectrum.
Exactly. Zilu was impetuous, brave, always ready for action, but often kind of rash. Fiercely loyal, but needed constant guidance.
So he represents maybe natural virtues like courage that need to be shaped by learning and Leo by propriety?
That's a great way to put it. Their interactions often show the real-world challenges of applying these ethical principles when your first instinct is just to charge ahead.
And what about Zigong? He sounds like a different type again.
Yeah, Zigong was the eloquent one, the diplomat, apparently also a successful businessman. Very sharp intellectually, always asking clever questions that pushed Confucius to clarify things.
So Confucius admired his abilities.
He did. But sometimes he gently, nudge him, reminding him not to get too caught up in external success or cleverness for its own sake. Zigong shows how you need to ground worldly talents, communication, business acumen in that firm moral foundation of Ren. It's about integrating ethics with practical life.
Not abandoning ambition, but making sure it's aligned with virtue.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So beyond those specific examples and books, there are these central themes that just weave through the whole Analects, right? They're like the pillars of Confucian thought.
Yeah, let's unpack a few of those core ones. First up has to be the Junzi, the exemplary person.
Right. This isn't just some label. It's the ultimate goal, the whole point of the self-cultivation Confucius talks about. And again, it's not something you're born into. It's an achievement of character, open to anyone through conscious effort.
So the Junzi is someone who's always trying to improve, takes responsibility, stays calm even when things are tough, a kind of moral nobility.
That's it. Exactly. A moral noble, not necessarily a social one.
Okay. Then there's Ren, that core virtue of humaneness. We've touched on it, but it feels central.
It absolutely is. Maybe the most fundamental concept, benevolence, humanity, goodness. Mm-hmm. It's all wrapped up in Ren. It's not just a warm feeling, though. Mm. It's expressed through concrete actions, through empathy put into practice.
So it's about really understanding that we're all connected, that my well-being is tied to yours.
Yes, and acting accordingly. Asking yourself, how would I feel before you act? That principle of reciprocity again.
And then there's the counterpart to Ren, which is Lai, ritual propriety. If Ren is the inner feeling,
Lai is its outward expression. It's the social grammar, you could say. the proper way to behave.
So it covers everything from big state ceremonies down to, like, table manners?
Pretty much. Or even knowing how to interact respectfully in a meeting, how to give feedback constructively. Live provides the structure for harmonious interaction. It ensures the outward forms match the inner sincerity. It channels our feelings and desires in socially appropriate ways.
Acting appropriately for the situation. Got it. And we definitely can't forget Shao filial piety. Confucius saw the family as absolutely critical.
The primary training ground. That's the term he might use. He believed morality starts at home. This reverence for parents, for elders, it serves as the model for all other relationships.
So if you cultivate respect, gratitude, responsibility within the family,
that moral compass naturally extends outward. To your friends, your community, even the state, it builds social stability from the smallest unit up. It teaches you how to be a good person, starting small.
Wow. Okay, so the Analects is also just packed with these really memorable lines, isn't it? Little nuggets of wisdom that stick with you.
Oh, completely. They distill these big ideas so effectively.
Can you share a couple? That Golden Rule 1 is powerful.
Definitely. What you do not wish for yourself, do not do to others. So simple, so profound, guides our actions with empathy.
And there's one about learning and thinking.
Yes. To learn without thinking is to be lost. To think without learning is to be in danger. That perfectly captures the need for balance, right? You need to take in knowledge, but you also have to reflect on it critically to gain real wisdom. Information isn't enough.
That's so relevant today. And what about the one on personal responsibility?
That's a great one. The exemplary person, Yunzi, seeks it in themselves. The petty person, Chorin, seeks it in others. It's all about looking inward for improvement, taking ownership, rather than just blaming everyone else or external circumstances. A real sign of maturity of character.
It really is. Okay, so bring this all forward. How can this ancient wisdom actually guide us, you know, in our modern lives today?
Well, for personal development, that call for lifelong learning and self-cultivation is timeless, isn't it? It means really adopting a mindset of continuous improvement, regularly reflecting, how did I handle that? Could I have been more patient, more empathetic? Consciously practicing these virtues.
And in leadership and management, that idea of leading by example seems crucial.
Absolutely. Yeah. A leader who shows integrity, who is fair, who genuinely cares about their team, that inspires loyalty and effort far more than just relying on rules or, you know, fear. It's about aligning your actions with your role's responsibilities. True accountability.
Makes sense. And for family and relationships.
Shao is a powerful reminder, I think, to honor those family bonds, not just out of duty, but with real respect, gratitude, and responsibility. It's about actively strengthening those core relationships, recognizing they're the bedrock, the place where we first learn how to connect and be moral beings.
So what really stands out for you then after this whole deep dive? Your main takeaway?
For me? It's that the Analects offers this powerful alternative view, that lasting order, real harmony. They don't just come from governments or laws changing things from the top down. They're the result of widespread individual moral transformation. It really does start with each of us, inside. It's an internal journey first.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, it's the profound humanism of it all. It lays out this path to a meaningful life that's grounded entirely in human relationships and ethical behavior and self-improvement. You don't necessarily need grand metaphysics or divine commands. It feels incredibly practical, almost like a user's manual for being a good human.
That's a great way to put it, a user's manual. And Confucius's enduring contribution, I think, is showing that human flourishing, it doesn't really depend on wealth or power or status, does it? It depends on cultivating those character traits, Ren, Yi, Li, Shao, that allow us to live meaningful lives while helping create communities that are just and harmonious. It connects the personal and the social so beautifully.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.